on the project to...
Okay, this is a public hearing on a project resolution authorizing issuance of up to $4.5 million variable rate demand industrial revenue bonds. The applicant is Blue Hen Organics LLC. And we'll start this public hearing with brief remarks by Susan Webb, Director of Finance. Next, we will hear a brief presentation by Rob Tunnel, the representative of the applicant, and followed by brief remarks from the county's bond counsel, Emily Ninen. Webb?
Thank you. On April 23rd, the Industrial Revenue Bond Committee heard an application from Blue Hen Organics LLC, who would like to finance a project through the county issuing its tax-exempt industrial development revenue bonds for developing a solid waste disposal facility. This facility will be used for composting valueless yard waste and recycled. In your county council packet this week, you received the minutes from that meeting and a resolution as well that we will obtain approval today if possible. Today, Mr. Robert Tunnel III, representing Blue Hen Organics LLC, will give a short presentation, as Jim said, on his project, and then Mrs. Emily Ninen, our county bond attorney, will speak to the financing arrangements, the eligibility, and the county's place in this, and then we'll listen to public comment. So, welcome, Rob. Mr. Tunnel, if you'd like to.
Susie, who's on that bond committee?
David Baker.
Sorry, Mrs. Webb.
David Baker, Mr. Griffin, myself, and Ms. Wheatley.
Thank you.
And I have, if you'd like to see these while you're reading it, I have a copy.
Good afternoon, council members. I will be brief. You've heard most of... I'll do an abbreviated presentation. You've heard the basics behind the composting process, the overview of the facility, and how it would work a few months ago at the conditional use hearing. I don't know if I need to, but I would submit for record the conditional use approval.
Okay, thank you.
Basically, by obtaining or going through the industrial revenue bond financing route, it allows us to construct and the compost facility in its entirety. Originally, when we were, in the designing and permitting stages, we had phased the facility over about a five-stage phasing for both the buildings, the composting pads. And the industrial revenue bond would allow us to do the site work and construct the facility on a much more quick time frame than we originally had thought. In addition, we've also, talking from the conditional use hearing, we had a phase-in of employment where when the facility opens, we would have 4 to 5 employees to start, and then over the years ramp up into, maybe 15 to 20 employees. The industrial revenue bond and building the entire site at once would allow us to employ more people sooner by being able to take in more material to, and then also, be able to have a small bagging plant there to not just sell bulk material, but also to sell a bag product as well. The proceeds of the industrial revenue bond, or the money, would finance site construction, the buildings, and the specialized bagging equipment, and then a few pieces of very specialized composting equipment, a windrow turner, a screen to screen the finished product, and in addition, there would be a specialized grinder, different from the one we talked about in the conditional use hearing. This would be a slow-speed, high-torque shredder that would actually produce probably a third or less of the actual noise from the high-speed grinder that we originally proposed. So the industrial revenue bond would allow us, to buy some more specialized pieces of equipment earlier and, especially with that grinder or the shredder, reduce some of the noise potential. In addition, for the employment, you know, like I said before, we would be able to, you know, employ not just 4 to 5 people to start, but probably within a year, employ up to 10 people there at the facility. So that in a brief, you know, brief overview is the project and the proceeds of the bond and what it will be used for.
Thank you. Anybody else? Nope. Are you done, Mr. Powell?
Sure. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Next, please.
Good afternoon again.
By yourself again, please.
Emily Ninen, a partner at Ballard Spahr, Andrews and Ingersoll. We are bond counsel to Sussex County. I just wanted to take a few minutes just to explain how these bonds are different than the Prince George's County general obligation bonds that we were just talking about. Basically, the federal tax code allows governmental entities to issue bonds not only for themselves, but also as a conduit for certain borrowers that are qualified to borrow tax-exempt proceeds. The most important distinction is that this is not county money. It is not an obligation of the county. So basically, you issue the bonds, and they are tax-exempt, meaning that the bondholder does not have to pay tax on the interest that they earn on the bond. And as a result, they are willing to lend the money, basically, at a much cheaper rate.
Well, how would they be rated? Such a bond would be rated?
It really depends on the financing structure. Initially, the structure that was introduced to us or presented to us in the application was you as the issuer would issue the bonds, and then you would sell the bonds to an underwriter. And the underwriter would, they would be structured as a variable rate with a letter of credit, meaning a bank has stepped up and said, we will pay the interest and principal to the bondholder every month. And basically, that bank takes the risk that the borrower, here Blue Hen Organics, would not pay the principal and interest. And in that case, the bonds are sold on the rating of the bank, the letter of credit bank. So we don't know who that bank is. In this market today, it's really difficult to know how bonds are being structured. And so you'll see in your resolution that it may be where it's sold on the letter of credit of the letter of credit, the rating of the letter of credit bank. Or you may have a simpler structure where we just sell the actual bond to a bank. In that case, it's unrated, but the bank is buying it for their own for their own account. And I think the last option, and maybe you might know better, I think Mr. Tunnel can probably address because he has more direct or recent conversations with the underwriter, but they might have accredited investors who look at the project and buy the bonds. But regardless of how it's structured, it's not an obligation of Sussex County.
Oh, I understand that.
Yeah. I don't know if you had any.
And basically, we're lending our name so they get a tax-exempt status, going through municipality for the IRS code.
Right. The federal tax code requires that a governmental entity issue the bonds. Mm-hmm. And so that's you're acting as a conduit. You will get a fee for your role. But after that, you really kind of step out of it because there will be a trustee in place that's there to represent the bondholders, and the money doesn't flow through.
The fee would help pay you, too, wouldn't it?
You don't have to pay my fee. That gets paid by the borrower.
That does. Exactly.
Yeah, that's separate.
Paid by the borrower?
Yes.
That's even better.
Yes.
And Dave, in your history, we've done these before.
Oh, quite a few.
Okay.
Quite a few.
For the benefit of the new county council members.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they used to be, years ago, they were very common.
And
federal tax law was much looser in terms of what the monies could be used for. But now they're... You know, occasionally we'll have an application.
Yeah, the rules were changed quite a bit in 1986 and limited what kind of projects can be done. Typically, you see 501c3s. They can do capital projects and borrow this money to do that. Any nonprofit C3 that has a capital project qualifies. And then you see solid waste manufacturing. There's very specific categories in the tax code that's permitted to be done this way. We are hopeful that with the stimulus package that you may see more. You should be getting an allocation of recovery zone bonds, mm-hmm. which basically gives the ability to do projects that were allowed pre-86, meaning you could do commercial buildings, you could do, you know, doctor's offices. You could, it's a much broader allocation. So we haven't seen what those numbers look like yet, but we might be seeing more.
Thank you.
And I did want to note that the Industrial Revenue Bond Committee voted to approve this application.
Is there anyone from the public who would like to be heard concerning the proposal of council, before council, to adopt a resolution approving the issuance of bonds, $4.5 million, on the application of Blue Hen Organics LLC? Anyone at all from the public wish to be heard regarding this matter? Let the record show that no members of the public asked to be identified. The resolution, I'll read the title in just a moment. There are legislative findings. I'll just quickly go through those. By adopting this resolution, you are approving these findings and determinations. The project is eligible for financial assistance, and financing will accomplish the public purposes contemplated by the general ordinance. The project will tend to maintain or provide gainful employment opportunities within and for the people of the county, to aid, assist, and encourage economic development or redevelopment, and to maintain, diversify, and expand employment, promoting enterprises within the county. Next, the issuance and sale of the bonds will enable the applicant to obtain efficient and cost-effective financing, thereby enhancing the applicant's ability to accomplish the public purpose driving this project. Lastly, the bonds will be limited obligations to the county, and the county does not pledge its general credit or taxing power to the repayment of the bonds. They'll be solely repayable from revenues of the project. The resolution is entitled a project resolution authorizing issuance of up to $4,500,000 in variable rate demand industrial revenue bonds, Blue Hen Organics LLC Project Series 2009.
Can I get a motion to adopt the resolution?
I will move for that.
Second.
I got a motion and a second. Call for any questions, gentlemen?
I guess just
yes.
I'm choosing to answer this is yes for Mr. Tunnel, but I'm assuming that these jobs we're going to create are going to be for Sussex County people.
Correct. Yes. Yeah, and actually, we've already started construction on the facility. We put the
tomorrow we'll finish the Del-Dot entrance. And I have with the slowdown in the economy, we had some of our people that were on our construction crews. We've actually been going and retraining them. Our consultant Craig Coker, who you heard in the conditional use hearing, has held a series of classes that has been teaching these three guys about how the composting process works and all the different detail and science behind it. So we're instead of laying people off, we're trying to retrain them to work in this facility. And I think I want to say one lives in the Long Neck area and two live in Dagsboro. So yes, they will be for Sussex County.
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you.
I don't know if it's important or not, but I'm just curious. But Blue Hen Organics, is that considered as a separate entity has nothing to do with the other tunnel businesses? I guess you looked at it as a separate business, standing on its own. Okay, just curious. You say you borrowed people from the other place, and I didn't know.
We basically, we're able to. They're now employed by Blue Hen Organics. I mean, they get a check from them. It's not.
But what's this other site preparation? And then you put rail. Are you planning on railroading some of that?
No. That is. I think that's the last thing. I think that's. Yeah, because I mean, even like when it says other under the wastewater management, there's no wastewater management, nothing like that. I think that's just, I guess, general.
Yeah, that's just general what other could be, but in this case, there is no.
There is no. There's no rail. There's no rail spur anywhere near that.
It says other site. It did say rail. I was just wondering why it was. Right. What rail? I didn't think the railroad was anywhere near that.
This is.
Any other questions?
No.
It's not always good.
Before we complete voting, since the public always has the right to speak last. I know there was no public participation before, but I want to ask one more time. Does any member of the public wish to say anything in regard to this matter before council approves a resolution? Let the record show no one asked to be recognized. Thank you.
Okay, we'll call for the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Mr. Cole? Yes. Motion passed. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Now, Mr. Baker, would you like to go back to your administrator's report, and I think we have farmland preservation, and I think, is everybody here? Good.
Yes.
Mr. Baker.
Yes, thank you. Today we are honored to have with us today our Secretary of Agriculture for the state of Delaware, Mr. Ed Key, to discuss the state's farmland preservation program. We also have with us Ms. Wendy Baker from the Sussex County Land Trust and Mr. Mike McGrath, who has worked with this program for a number of years now. The County Council has contributed $2,061,000 toward the program since 2003, which has assisted in maintaining 2,471 acres as farmland in Sussex. The county first partnered with the state in 2003. The council was the first local government to partner with the state. The land trust has also partnered with the county and what they've done is recommend specific properties, and they've also presented us a plan for farmland preservation. The land trust has also contributed their own funds that they have raised towards the efforts. So with that, I'll turn it over to our Secretary of Agriculture, Mr. Ed Key, who is a Sussex County resident.
All right.
Good afternoon.
The lights
you're on.
On,
lights so on. You're on.
Thank
yes,
you.
Sir.
Well, thank you. It's nice to be here, and I appreciate being called a Sussex County resident. It actually goes back five or six generations, none of which distinguished themselves very well. They were just hanging around trying to make a living. It is a pleasure to be here, and it is a pleasure to be the Secretary of Agriculture. Some of you have known me for a while, and it's a great job, and I'm proud to have it. I'm also proud of the Farmlands Preservation Program. It first began in 1994, and there's been a total of 15 rounds. And in that time, statewide, it has preserved over almost 93,000 acres, permanently preserved. And the value, the economic value, market value, is over $344 million. And the way this works, there's an appraisal and of each farm, and that landowner or farm owner puts in a discount. And the discount is subtracted from the appraised value. And over time, the actual money invested to get that $344 million was $156 million. And the farmers and landowners have contributed over $187 million in equity, and that's how the match has worked. Our funds come from the state and the federal sources, and then as Administrator Baker just described, Sussex County has been good enough to participate as well. That's the broad overview. The couple of points about the impact, and then I'll open it up for questions, and Mike McGrath and Wendy Baker are here as well. The surface, this is a farmland preservation program, and that is good. It's allowing farmers to stay on the land and keep open space. But I think there's a couple other significant things associated with this. And that is, the first is, from my perspective as the Secretary of Agriculture for Delaware, one of the things that worries me is maintaining a critical mass of agricultural production to support the processing companies, whether they be poultry, vegetable, to support our fresh market industry that's supplying chain stores up and down the East Coast. You need a critical mass of production to support that infrastructure, which creates a market. You also need that critical mass on the supply side. So fertilizer companies, tractor companies, various ag supply companies have enough business to stay in business. And I think farmland preservation is one of the tools that's important to keeping that infrastructure viable. Certainly, I believe, and Governor Markell's administration believes, that keeping farmers profitable is the first step in farmland preservation. And this is another tool towards that. The other thing, the figures I mentioned earlier, especially the cash payments over the years of $156 million, University of Delaware studies have shown that 70 to 80% of that is reinvested back in the state. In other words, farmers are using that money to either pay off debt, buy equipment, maybe buy another piece of land. And I think over the years, that fact has been somewhat overlooked. So in a sense, in this, I know it's maybe a buzzword, but the cash injection into the farm economy is almost like a stimulus, another stimulus program. You can look at it that way. So that's some of the broad oversight. We just finished round 14, and there were 50 farms that made the state piece of the program, and then the next step are some extra farms or additional farms that perhaps can be matched up for the Sussex County farms. This year, we don't know for sure yet. Kent County will also be participating. We're probably 90% sure of that. Newcastle County will not. And we hope that Sussex will participate. So if Sussex participates, you know, and Kent too, our total number of farms preserved will end up in the 53 to 55 total individual farms. And that'll, this year I think we preserved about, with the first 50, about 3,100 acres, Mike, something like that?
About 3,900.
3,900. And this would give us some extra farms and some extra acreage. So with that, Mr. Cole, I'll turn it over to questions or whatever we need to do. And I don't know if Mike or
Wendy. Anybody else? Anybody else? Anybody else like to speak? Please. We'll go back to Ed. Let them all speak, Sam, then we'll ask them questions. They'll stay up. Just stay up there, please. Thank you. Go ahead.
Thank you. On behalf of the Sussex County Land Trust, my name is Wendy O'Baker, and I'm here to let the county council know we support and believe in the farmland preservation and the Department of Ag program. We think it is one of the best ways to leverage funds, as our participation in the past has proven. And at this time, we have just received the farms who will be participating in this round, and our board is evaluating them based on our criteria and whether they fit into the grand preservation loop. And we will make a recommendation to County Council after our board has had an opportunity to decide which ones they would recommend.
Thank you, Mrs. Baker. Yes, any questions now?
I just wonder how much you pay for 3,900 acres.
3,900 acres this year.
9.9 million.
Now, was that? That includes the discount.
That's right. That's what we'll actually pay to landowners. And that works out to $2,500 per acre.
Thank you, Mike.
I have some questions. Don't we have some money that was set aside for this and we did not contribute last year? Is that correct?
Yes. We have money set aside. And what, Ms. Baker said, what our plan is to bring back a recommendation. The land trust evaluates the properties that are available, and then we bring back a recommendation for the council to consider.
Okay.
So we aren't at that point.
We're not at that right point.
We're not ready.
Okay. Okay.
So there will be no action on this issue today because you're not ready with your recommendation.
Right. We met with Mr. McGrath last week, Thursday, and went over the list of properties. And the Land Trust Committee will come back. They're reviewing that, and then they will come back with a recommendation to the council. And that's been our practice, how we work this. Mm-hmm. The county council makes a decision, first of all, if you want to participate, and then if you do want to participate, you can pick the properties. And there are, in quite a few of the a number of the properties that are available are subject to a federal match this year.
So what's invested would be matched by what?
By the federal grant.
Dollar for dollar?
Yes.
Or what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Dollar for dollar.
That's out there, and if we don't use it, I mean, if we don't do this, then it's not used. Is that right?
Use it or lose it. Yes.
Right. That's what I understood.
The 9.9 million is the state's contribution, or is that when you mentioned the 9.9 million for 3,900 acres, right?
That includes both state and some federal money.
Okay, that's not county money. But we would add into that. Okay, so the 9.9 million is both state and federal money.
That's correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, any other questions? Anybody else?
No, I just have to say I've been asking and emailing people on this and giving them what I knew about it and what I could learn from the department. And the people in my district really want these farms preserved, very much so. And that's just a message from the 3rd District. That's all.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Secretary. Appreciate it.
Could I ask one question
while
they're here? I know there is... I've heard the question a number of times. Is this a permanent easement?
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sure is.
Yep.
Unless they ask to change it, though. Isn't there a way out? There is a way out.
At the end, a long time, there's a way out.
Not profitable, though.
But it's not profitable. It would be a big hit, and it would make no sense. But
can you get out even if they pay?
No.
$2,500?
No.
Can you get it for
$2,500? You have to buy out at the enhanced or appreciated value at the time of the buyout. So
you give away your discount and then some.
Maybe I should explain.
Maybe Mike should explain it.
You
come
sell
up, Mike.
For the value of the farm as a farm at that time.
Let me try to briefly explain how that might work. First of all, be aware that that's at the public's discretion, not the owner's. Under statute, if an easement were to be set aside, that would be a decision that would have to be made by the state of Delaware. Number two, it can't happen any time before 25 years. Number three, whatever the value is of the property, its full fair market value at that point in time, minus whatever its agricultural value is, and by definition of the statute, the owners would have to prove essentially that it had no agricultural feasibility at that point in time. So presumably the ag value would be very low. All the market value would be returned to the public. So, and we've discussed this before here with County Council, if money were involved that the county had contributed to a farm in that position, in proportionate shares, that enhanced value of the property at that point, when it transferred in proportionate shares to the participation of the county at that point, the money would be returned to you. So the way the statute was structured, it was essentially, first of all, put into the hands of the public sector to decide if there was some public reason in the future why an easement should be set aside. And second of all the financial enhancement from that future time would come back to the public.
So if you got 25 years before you can even think about getting out of it.
At least, yeah.
All right, if you want to get out of it, you got to pay the fair value back to you what land's worth then, or
That's right.
They reappraise it in 25.
It would be
years.
Reappraised and say, let's say 30 years from now, you had a farm that let's just take an example, sort of hypothetical, that today this farm was worth $1 million. Yeah. Now, in this current round, our discounts averaged about 75%. So that would mean that the owner would have received a payment of $250,000, let's say, today to preserve this farm. But let's say, 30 years from now is worth, $10 million. And at that point, the agricultural value on the farm, let's just say for the sake of argument, was $100,000, the agricultural value of, let's say, a 100-acre farm, and it was worth $10 million. The owners would have to reimburse the public for $9,900,000 mm-hmm. at that point in time for which they had received a payment earlier of $250,000.
Yep. All right, let me give you a case that I know has actually happened. Mm-hmm. In New York, on Long Island,
New York,
they did the same thing. They've gone into land preservation, and they developed everything around them. This guy went into it, but everybody around him developed. Mm-hmm. This guy got to the point he couldn't even get on his farm with his machinery because his excess of highway transport, I mean, everything was built totally, had him locked in. Mm-hmm. So you know what happened to that farm? It grew up in bushes and everything else.
And that's exactly why, Mr. Wilson, that it was exactly the Long Island experience that when Michael Parkowski and others drafted this statute in 91, that was added, just what we've described, is because it would not be in the public's interest to have land like you just described just grow up in trees and be abandoned. And it was exactly that Long Island, actually.
But that was open space, though. Wait.
Well, this is
some
not.
Some people like that.
Well, and the point is that, and we've pointed this out to people who have debated this in the past, that certainly the Parks Department or the wildlife people or somebody else could purchase it at that point. But it would no longer be reasonable to have it in a farm easement, just as Mr. Wilson's described.
Well, what I'm saying here, George, it might be open space, but how about this farmer that was depending on this? He got this small percentage of what real the farm was worth, and then and had all intentions of farming his farm.
Right.
But he was blocked out from
farming. Sam, in 25 years, a future legislature will change the rules because they'll deem them to be too oppressive to the poor landowners that got in these programs. And so they'll change it all, and who knows what will happen.
The reason that happened in Suffolk County, New York, too, is because the land use around that farm wasn't compatible with it, and, of course, that was zoning and so forth, decisions that were made in that area.
But as of right now, the law is that it is protected, and it's not equitable for them to change.
Right. Just listen a minute, you're going to learn something here.
I'm telling you, every week I learn something, Sam.
And this land that we talk about, this is all tillable land.
A portion of it's forest. There are things like farm ponds and ditches.
Forest.
You have purchased wetlands on some of these farms.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I mean, when we preserve a farm, we preserve the entire farm. All the qualities of that farm are preserved. Wildlife habitat.
Tree farm. Could be a tree farm. Right?
Tree farm, water infiltration areas, the whole deal. It's not just cropland.
But the county has no access to that land.
Absolutely.
That's correct. Public. It's privately owned land.
Okay.
In fact, we've lost access to a lot of our public land.
That's a story for another day. Thank you, Sam.
Well,
thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, Rick.
He's in charge of it. You've now just taken over, but it happened before you got there. The Red State Forest, all those roadways, old CC camps, you could go back over to back there all kinds of ways, but now they got gates on all those roads. You just, we've lost more, and since we've lost more.
That was to keep certain people out of there, I think.
That's a lot of issues, Mr. Wilson, but the bottom line is this is a farmland preservation program that works and has a lot of safeguards in it, and I hope you appreciate that. And you and I can talk about it at the Milford Diner, and I'll
there you go.
Down.
Thank you, Mr. Excellent. That's why you got that job.
I guess.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for coming down. Appreciate it.
I'll see you at Milford Diner.
Wendy, thank you.
I'll buy you breakfast.
Payoff. Okay. Mr. Baker, do you have anything else with
yes,
your...
Yes, we do have the revised sheriff ordinance.
Yes, we do.
Okay. Yes.
And we're just looking to introduce this, correct?
Yeah.
Yes.
May I introduce that then?
Yes. Yes.
Well, good.
That's all it takes.
That's
I would
all
like
it,
to do
end
that.
Of that. Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Moving on. Let me find my place in the agenda here. We have a legislative update with the infamous Hal Godwin.
Yeah.
Directly to the Honorable George B. Cole, acting president today, sir.
Being that you're kind of like a second fiddle, I know the feeling. I get this.
Yeah.
Every week I show up and
number two.
I almost feel like I'm number two.
Right.
Like it's good being number one.
Like Avis Rent-A-Car, we have to try hard.
All right, let's move on. We'll talk about it later.
Okay.
At the diner.
Next year, George.
Members of council, today at 2 o'clock, our General Assembly reconvened after a two-week break of which they spent the time working on the state budget. And I'm not sure they've solved all the problems in that regard yet, but they've worked on it hard for the last 2 weeks.
I saw them all down at the beach over Memorial Day weekend.
I saw the Joint Finance Committee out at dinner one night last week, the whole group. So much for open meetings law. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the State Senate will spend most of the day today, if not all day, working on some possible revisions to FOIA. The Freedom of Information Act has become an issue in the General Assembly this session. House Bill 1, with a number of amendments, is the subject of discussion in the State Senate today, and they may well make some progress on opening up state government to live by the same rules that we local governments have lived by for years. So that issue is going to take up most of the discussion time today in the Senate. Before I go into some specific items, I wanted to bring you up to date on three issues that are active. They could become legislative issues. They have not yet been introduced in the form of bills. One of our state legislators, Dave Wilson, that you all probably know from the Lincoln area, approached me, and I asked him to approach you, so you may be hearing from him. He has some concerns about the deterioration of certain properties around Sussex County. He's gotten a number of complaints from constituents, and he's told them that these land use and zoning issues are county issues and that they should address you directly, that the state doesn't control that. But he did say that he wanted to have some dialogue with us about some ideas and to point out some properties that he has had pointed out to him by some of his neighbors. I have just a few pictures that he and I discussed, but I'm sure you all know some of the properties that I'm talking about. So anyway, it is, in Mr. Wilson's words were that he really didn't want to address this through state legislation. He wanted to talk with you and try to deal with you and county council as a whole to cope with and perhaps address these issues in some fashion that would be best for everyone. Another issue that I wanted to bring to your attention, you probably know that at the end of this year, the county will be required to take over the administration and governance of all the dog licensing controls. That will be an assignment coming to us from the General Assembly. There is a bill floating. It has not yet been introduced. Mr. Baker shared this with us last week. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. It has not yet grown feet in that it has not yet been introduced in the legislature, but we're expecting to see that sometime soon. It'll need to come soon because as we grind through the small month of June, our legislature gets more and more, and this time is going to be really intensely busy with budget issues. And many issues that haven't been introduced yet are going to have a hard time getting through due process in both houses. So I just hope if they're going to do that, they introduce it soon so we can offer them comments, since it's a bill that we should definitely be concerned about. Another bill that has not yet been introduced, but it's been moved around the House chambers some, is an older bill that we've seen before. This bill was brought to my attention by our engineering department. Mike Izzo pointed out to me that this piece of legislation would give farmers the right to accept reclaimed water, being treated wastewater, be able to accept that water for spray on their farms without any review or consideration from you. In the past, you've always issued special use permits, conditional use permits, rather, for properties that spray partially reclaimed wastewater. This piece of legislation would circumvent that. It would just give the farmers right to accept it at their discretion.
And who's introduced that one?
It has not been introduced. Mike Izzo pointed out to me that it may be coming. I haven't seen it.
Sponsors? I mean, anybody pushing that one?
Nope. It's there. It's been drafted.
It fell out of the sky.
Yeah. There is also a bill that fell out of the sky from Mr. Cathcart early in the session that would readdress the amount of transfer tax we would receive. That bill hasn't been introduced either. It's like these bills are sitting there as loaded weapons waiting to be used if the time provides importance for those bills, but they haven't come to the surface yet.
Do you need any guidance on some of these bills?
I think I have your direction on most of these. You'll need to study with Mr. Wilson his property maintenance issues.
Right.
The dog bill is going to require a lot of review on your part and some direction because there's a lot of detail in it. This dog licensing bill has several pages and it's a lot of detail. And there's a lot of minutia in there about how the dog licensing and dog behavior and dog breeding and selling will be managed, and you need to look at that and then give me some direction. So that if you have some objections to certain parts of it, I can get those objections in the process before the bills are passed.
And any of these others that are just floating out there, do you need any direction on them in case they?
No, the spray bill, I would imagine you're going to want to have some local control. You'd like to have some review process, which is the way we've always done it. So if this bill gets introduced, when I get a bill, I will bring it to you immediately so you can read it over. In some cases, you know, it depends on how the bill's written. It might be palatable for you or it might not. I'm not sure. I'll have to wait and see what they actually come up with. I wanted you to know that these thought processes are alive. They just haven't become actual bills that have been introduced yet.
Give me a synopsis on that spray bill again.
The spray bill, yes, I can. The synopsis that's on this draft says this bill adopts the recommendations of the Irrigation Preservation Task Force created by House Concurrent Resolution Number 67 of the 144th General Assembly, that was last year. The bill permits farmers to accept reclaimed water. So basically, it would give a farmer the opportunity to take reclaimed water on his property for spray purposes without coming to you for any consideration or permits.
Well, isn't this already been in the works now down here to Inland Bays or near Inland Bays? Aren't they going to pump from Georgetown? Well, actually, it's from here to Georgetown. It's going to Milton, the spray on...
there are a number of spray facilities and collection systems, Mr. Wilson.
That's
this different. This bill...
That's like when Baxter out here wanted to spray something on his land, and we had a public hearing on it.
Right.
And I don't know what that was, if it was like this, but they were taking stuff from sewer plants or Velasic Pickle,
correct.
I forget.
Right.
And then they were applicating it. Anyway, they had to come in front of us, because many times some of these farm fields abut residential neighborhoods and people want to have a voice. So
this would essentially give the farmer, a person who owns AR1 property being used for ag purposes, the right within that zone to accept reclaimed water without any further consideration from county.
Okay, that's
what it would do.
Well, that sort of eliminates us.
Right. Well, Lawrence,
it would in that case.
We've had a number of those applications already in the past.
Yeah, I was just looking it up. We've been doing those type applications as public hearings since 1990.
And have
sludge application.
Right.
Some of the materials from one of the poultry plants. There's also a Velasic Pickle plant, and they use a interrogator to inject it into the ground, and they automatically tilt it over, so it injected as a channel is created in the soil, and it injects it, and then it covers it at the same time. So you don't
And that's why, the way Lawrence explained that is why we need to see the bill.
Right.
Because it might be worded in a fashion that doesn't offend you. If it just says reclaimed water, you might be okay with that. But if it goes into the sludge applications and various other disposal processes, you might have a concern about
right.
that.
Right.
So is that how I'm going to make an assumption here, which is a bad thing, that this task force, we had no input into that?
I'm not sure. I would suspect that we did. It says Irrigation Preservation Task Force. I would have to ask Mike Izzo, but I would think we would have had somebody on that task force. I'm not sure we did or not.
We did, maybe. But
I know Natural Resources is heavily involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
We'll not go out there unless it's approved of them. I do know that. Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons why I can spend the day with you today, since they're in session in Dover, is because both agendas, House and Senate, had no issues on either agenda that concerned us. However, there are a few bills on the ready lists that concern us, and I'll go over those with you just a second. The ready list does not mean that the bills are going to be dealt with tomorrow or the next day. It just means that they're through the committee process and they're ready to go on to an agenda whenever the manager of that chamber decides to pull that bill off the ready list and put it on the agenda. So I keep an eye on the ready lists every day. Two of the bills that are on the House ready list, the first one is House Bill 65. That bill would change Sussex County Council from 5 to 7 members. And House Bill number 70, which is the No Restrictions for Windmills bill, both of those bills are on the House ready list, and I'm watching them very carefully. I do, as I mentioned in my last report to you last week that you got in your package, House Bill 65, the council bill, has a new energy in our favor in that there's a bill currently introduced to reduce the size of Newcastle County Council for financial reasons. So since that's our same argument for keeping this council at this size for this time, I'm going to see if I can't garner some support from these folks in the House that introduced. Mike Ramone in the House and Karen Peterson in the Senate introduced that bill. And quite honestly, I think there's probably some support, not from Newcastle County Council members, but I think there's support in the General Assembly to make that change.
And how that House Bill 65, didn't Senator Peterson pull her name off that as a sponsor?
Yes, she did. Okay. Yes, she did. The wind bill, House Bill 70, is a bill that simply says that windmills will be permitted and that deed restrictions and homeowner association covenants cannot prevent them from being installed as long as they meet certain minimum requirements like certain setback and height requirements and those kinds of things. So that bill, it would also circumvent your authority in restricting windmills from being installed. In the Senate, we only have one bill that's on the ready list, and that is House Bill 26. House Bill 26 is a bill that I think we're friendly to, and that bill gives your tax liens, gives your property liens the same authority in closing as tax liens.
Yes.
Which means that if a person owes the county utility monies that they haven't paid, we can actually take the property to sheriff's sale as you would on a tax lien.
All right.
Okay, so those are the only three bills that are currently on a ready list that I'm watching carefully. And just to quickly run down the list of bills that I'm watching for us, House Bill 26, I just described, and 65 and 70 I've described. House Bill 95 has been pulled from activity by its primary sponsor, Melanie Marshall. This was a dog, I called it the puppy mill bill, because it regulated the production and sale of puppies. She's pulled that bill back in lieu of this dog licensing bill because there's much more definition in that bill. Plus, the puppy mill bill got a lot of resistance from the caucuses, both caucuses. House Bill 106, this bill would change who recommends monies for open space from the Delaware Open Space Council to the Parks and Recreation Council. I'm not sure if you have a particular feeling about this bill, but I've given you copies of it. You want to take a look at it. It would essentially change the Delaware Open Space Council's authority over to the Parks and Recreation Council's authority on who recommends open space dollars to be spent where. You have a copy of that in your package. I can get you another one if you like. House Bill 106. House Bill 114 is a friendly bill. It waives the $25 marriage license fee for all active military. One bill I was so happy to see finally pass the House just last week before they closed has designated peach pie as the official dessert in Delaware. That was House Bill 99. It's now over.
We can see and understand your interest.
It was a very tough fight, yeah, and I understand now that it's in the Senate being tasted for further consideration.
Thank you for that.
Senate bill in the Senate side, we have just a few bills. Senate Bill 48, this bill will simply change, it's a housekeeping bill. It will change the words levy court, Sussex County Levy Court, to Sussex County Council in all the code that establishes and references the Sussex County Conservation District, just a housekeeping bill. Senate Bill 49 is a lot like the windmill bill. This is a solar restrictions bill that will allow people to install solar panels and solar facilities on their home or business without consideration of a homeowners association restriction or a deed restriction or a covenant or a local law.
Does that include, because you know, solar is either on your roof or it's out there sitting out, you know, by itself, detached, not attached? You know, sometimes, like, remember the old dishes? We used to see the big, huge dishes, and there was a big controversy because people were putting them in their front yard in different places because they had to get... Same thing with the thing, you know, because of trees, they'll have to be sticking these things. So, obviously, so there's the way it's applied. If it's on the roof, I don't think anybody would really have the concern, but
let me
I don't know if they want these big panels sitting in their yard. So we better make sure that we address that one.
Probably applies to either... the rooftop or the yard array, because sometimes they have to put it in the yard in order to get the right angle of the sun.
Right.
Yeah, because there's a question about trees and cutting trees back. This bill enables the use of rooftop solar systems on privately owned residential dwellings by limiting the use of covenants or other restrictions beginning January 1, 2010, but does not impact restrictions in effect prior to then. This bill also permits any deed restrictions which are silent as to how they may be amended may hereafter be amended by a vote of no more than 75% of the property owners. Restrictions concerning solar collectors on roofs may be amended by two-thirds of the property owners. So it doesn't talk about solar panels anywhere other than on the roof.
You must not have thought of that.
No, they didn't. I mean, I don't know, because that's where I see them. There's one right as I go to back to Lewis, the Whole Food guy or whatever. He's got one sitting right there in the side yard.
There's one in Sea Air. Next to
Please.
A mobile home.
You're kidding.
You had to bring that up.
There's another violation.
You had to bring that up, didn't you?
You had to bring that up. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, probably.
Sorry about that.
Well, I think that we ought to stay on top of that one because I think there will be concerns with us.
Okay.
That one and the spray application and a couple others, right?
Okay.
Dog control,
my God.
Senate Bill 59 is being watched currently, but it's not on either agenda. That is the Green Building Standards Bill that passed the Senate. It's over in the House. I do expect it to get consideration on the Senate floor, on the House floor. I know that a number of the members in the House are anxious to see that bill. But I think that the compromise that was worked out on that bill in the Senate should suffice to make sure that everyone's interests have been addressed. Senate Bill 61 is another housekeeping bill. This bill simply classifies code enforcement officers as protected employees in certain crimes. So if a code enforcement officer is out trying to make a civil violation and he's shot at or shot, he gets the same type of criminal defense as would a state policeman or an ambulance driver or something like that. So those are the bills that I'm currently watching on your behalf. And I think that pretty much wraps up my legislative report. I will be visiting the legislature tomorrow. There are a couple of committee meetings, and I'll get a fresh agenda tomorrow morning as well.
Thank you. And you have one other item?
I do. I have, for your consideration this afternoon, I have three requests from our local municipal police enforcement agencies for disbursements from their annual fund. The first town is Greenwood. Greenwood would like to request a full disbursement of $25,000 for the purposes of purchasing a holding cell at the station, video security system, children's playground, a video security system to monitor business area and children's playground, and operational maintenance expenses for vehicles and some taser cartridges. The second town that's requested a disbursement is the town of Milford. They have had several small disbursements this year. They're asking for their last one, which would be $1,656.59, which would finish up their $25,000 fund. And this would be for capital for a handgun, rifle with a scope, and operating some taser cartridges. And the third and final request comes from the town of Ocean View. They haven't received any of their funds this year, so they're asking for an entire draw on their $25,000 fund for a speed awareness trailer, binoculars, computer software, desktop computers, and various other small items, and some ammunition. So I have a motion.
Yes, sir. Please read it.
Be it moved that Sussex County Council approve the aforementioned disbursements from the annual municipal police fund grant.
Do you have a motion to approve the grant?
I will put that on the floor, yes.
A second, please?
Second.
All right, a motion second. Any questions from the council?
Nope.
Call for the vote. Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Call yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, mm-hmm. Mr. Godwin. We are now at grant requests. And it looks like both of them I think for all of us, except
yes.
Mrs. Deaver, who has no money.
$200.
Like the federal government?
$200, because we had a
void. I have $100.
$200.
I have $200.
We had a voided grant, if you can believe that. Someone had returned money on a...
She has money.
That happens every once in a while. They just can't quite figure out. It's just a fluke.
Okay.
So anyway, the first one tonight is the VFW uplink for the phone cards.
If you guys, you all, Sam, you familiar with this one?
For the soldiers.
George, what's his name?
We've done 200 each in the past.
Right. They come in, and what they do is they buy the local VFW buys these phone cards, and they send them over to the soldiers.
Oh, yeah. Good thing.
Yeah.
It's been a good program. We've done it all together. Now, you've only got $200. I guess we could tap into that today, couldn't we?
Why not?
All right. That sounds good.
I'll make a motion with you.
Motion. We need a second. $200 each?
Second.
From each of the council.
Mm-hmm. Including Vance.
Yeah.
Any questions? Including Vance.
I'll vote for Vance, too. I'll vote for Vance.
Can you do that?
Yes, we can. We can include Mr. Phillips. Thank you, Mr. Phillips. Vote, Mrs. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Oh, yes. All right.
Delmar Forest?
That is one, and I've got a thing, and they do a poker run, motorcycles running around, and they raise money, muscular dystrophy. Mm-hmm. It is a lodge down in the Millville area, and I'd like to, what did I give them last time?
$500.
I'll give $500 from my account. Would somebody make that motion for me?
Some of you.
Second, please. Call for a vote. Mr. Deaver?
Yes.
Mr. Vincent?
Yes.
Mr. Wilson?
Yes.
Cole, yes. Thank you. Any introduction of proposed zoning ordinances, Mr. Griffin?
We do have a few. Let's see. An ordinance to grant a conditional use of land in an MR medium density residential district for multifamily dwelling structures to be located on a certain parcel of land in Lewis Rehoboth 100 containing 18 acres. It's filed by Rick Banning.
All right, I'll introduce it.
An ordinance to amend the comprehensive zoning map of Sussex County from AR1 Agricultural Residential District to a MR Medium Density Residential District for a certain parcel of land, Lewis Rehoboth 100.
Mm-hmm. I'll introduce
same one?
It. That's the same thing?
Same site. Okay. But it's a different ordinance, isn't it?
Oh, different ordinance? All right.
One the rezoning, one the conditional use.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
That's it?
Everything's in my district.
Yes, it is. Everything's happening down there at the beach. Here we have a list. We're going to go to any additional business to be brought before council, and I believe there are some people here that would like to attend. Mr. Bamberger, you've got 3 minutes, and we'll start it when you get down here, sir. and if the council forces me, we might give you an extra two. Can't guarantee it, though. Sir, go ahead. Introduce yourself. Tell us why you're here. And nothing, we don't make personal attacks. What else, anybody, whatever the other rules we have, Jim, do we have some rules here?
Well, we talk about Sierra a little bit, but we just...
Right, but I mean, we have some rules when you make your comments, okay. We just... And Jim, could you elaborate on those rules? Do you remember them?
Well, we ask that your comments be about an issue that's relevant to council business, and it's not a personal attack on
correct
members of council.
Okay, that's fine. Can I proceed?
Yes, sir.
Now you don't have much to say.
I'm Brad Bamberger. I'm a resident in Sierra Village, which I'm sure all of you are aware of Sierra, and some of the ongoing problems in Sierra, and I'm here to read a statement that I prepared for the board. A wise man once said that if government passes laws, it must apply those laws without regard to race, gender, community standing, and or religious preference. To do less is to invite chaos and catastrophe in a community and a total breakdown in law enforcement. That is exactly what we are facing in Sierra Village in the case of Jeannie Sisk. It appears that you, our elected representatives, have selectively applied the laws in this case. I have in my hand proof that over the years, Ms. Sisk has constantly improved her property without any regard for the laws of this county. And you, the council, have allowed this. You cannot hide behind your zoning, building inspectors. You are ultimately responsible and should be ashamed of yourselves. In the most recent case, Ms. Sisk removed a community fence and over a weekend, when no management is present, replaced a shed with a larger one. No permission was asked of park management or of Sussex County Building Department. After this incident was brought to the county's attention, a year has passed with no resolution. Shame on you. The residents of Sierra are being held hostage as to permits, shed replacement placements, and various zoning matters until the CIS case is resolved. God, how long do we have to wait till you deal with this matter? Do you realize how much in personal property and school taxes have been lost by Ms. CIS's invalid assessment of her improved property? Do you? I have an email from Mrs. Sisk. Do I have time to read it real quick? Basically states, I've lived in there since 65. I have a shed. It's always been in the same place. I have replaced the original one. And then also the county record showing that she had a 6x6 shed on her property. So now it has become an 8x10 shed and has been replaced without permits or anything. So how did it get bigger? What'd she do? She spray it with Miracle-Gro? I represent over 100 residents in Sierra. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association. They all vote or influence or have influence on the residents who do vote. I assure you that this council will feel the effects of those votes should this mismanagement of building codes persist. I do not understand why it's taken so long to make a resolution for a matter that, if it had been anybody else, would have been resolved probably within 30 days, fines, penalties, whatever. I ask that this council just resolve this matter so that the residents of Sierra, the 90%, the 95% of those who are law-abiding, get their permits, go through the variance hearings and everything, we can have a little bit of peace and know that justice is still on our side in this instance. And I appreciate the time you've given me to speak before the board.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Member. I don't believe there's anybody else. We only had the one. We'll now go into executive session. For personnel pending potential litigation and land acquisition, would somebody make a motion?
So move you back.
Second.
Okay, we will now go to executive session. We will be back very soon.
You need to vote. You call for a vote on that.
Oh, I'm sorry. We need to have a all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Oh, we didn't make a motion. I thought
we did.
Well,
my calculator.